Isaiah 61:1. Turn over to Isaiah 61:1 this morning. And I appreciate the opportunity the preacher gives me. For most of you know me, my family and I, we were missionaries over in the country of Nepal for 13 years. And then in 2011, God changed plans on us just a little bit when Miss Marcia had her incident, and we felt like it was God's will that we come back here and help my preacher. He is my father in the faith. As Brother Wittes mentioned last night concerning Dr. Dion, well, Dr. Dion to him is like preacher is to me. He's my hero and one of the greatest preachers that I know. And so I felt like it was God's will that we'd come back and help. And of course, many questioned the fact, you know, to leave the mission field to come back. But hey, I knew what God wanted me to do, and I haven't had any doubts since then. And just recently, God's let me know again that it's time to get back to what I was doing before. And so now we're fixing to get in contact with First International Bible. They deal in translation work, which is what I enjoy. They deal in training nationals and building churches. And it's in the 1040 window, and it's going to be over there. A lot of their work is done over in the country of India and Nepal, where I was at. And so we're going to have the opportunity to go back again at different times of the year and be a part of that. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to being back in the mission, but I don't have any regrets for the last 3 years of being here. My pastor has been a tremendous inspiration to me and my family. Isaiah 61:1 is a verse that I have held on to for many, many years. And as my preacher knows and those that are part of our church know, I was saved out of an ungodly home. My dad hated the church, hated preachers. I got saved at the age of 18 years old, and at the age of 19 years old, during a preaching, an evangelistic meeting, a man preached in Isaiah 61:1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me." "To bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. Help me now as I speak. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that you would just guide my words and thoughts. Help them be your words, your thoughts. Lord, just speak to hearts this morning. And thank you for this opportunity we ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah 61:1 has been a very precious verse to me over the years. As I said, at the age of 19, God used this verse to call me to preach. At the age of 20, God used this same verse to call me to the mission field. And when I was in the military, I got away from God for about 6 years, decided I enjoyed the security of the military, wasn't really interested in missions, wasn't really interested in taking my family to a foreign country and doing and seeing things and experiencing things. I enjoyed the United States. Amen? I enjoyed the luxuries. I enjoyed the comforts. And for most of you here, unlike most of you here, the only pastorate I've ever held is on a mission field. And what a joy and a blessing it was to be able to pastor the folks in Nepal. It was a great treasure to me to be able to be a part of their lives and for them to have a part in my life and an influence on my family. But I remember when I was in the military, God got a hold of my heart again, and He spoke to me once again through this verse and through another missionary. The missionary got up one day and he said, during one of our speaking times, he said, "You know, if God's called you to do something, you better do what He says before He stops calling." Scared me to death. I thought, God, I never want to get to the place as a missionary or even as a preacher that I can't hear your voice anymore. I want to be able to hear you speaking to me. And so I surrendered that night and finally got things right, got out of the military and got my training in and went to the mission field. And every day I was on the mission field, and every time that I've had opportunities to preach, I'm always reminded of Isaiah 61:1. The responsibility as a pastor. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. As a preacher and as a pastor, we rely on the Holy Spirit of God. If you're not preaching in the Spirit, you don't need to be behind the pulpit. If you're not relying on the Holy Spirit of God, if you're not depending on Him completely, stay out from behind the pulpit. You're wasting your time, you're wasting God's time, and you're wasting the people's time. They need to hear from God. They hear from God through the Holy Spirit of God. Not through our fancy speaking and big words. I mean, I can use big words, and most of the time it confuses me. That's why I'm simple. I learned from Dr. Howes a long time ago, you know, keep it simple. Keep it down where everybody can reach it. And that's what I base my preaching on. I preach, Lord willing, in such a way that I keep it down far enough to where everybody can reach it, no matter how, if they're an intellect or they're not. But the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. I have no doubts, as Brother Mix was talking about, God's call into the ministry. You got to know that God's called you into the ministry. I know that God has anointed me to do what I'm doing as a preacher, as a pastor, as a missionary. And man of God, if you don't know that God's in it, then stay out of it. Because you're going to do nothing but hurt yourself and probably hurt a lot of other people in the process. But I know that God anointed me back at the age of 18 years old when He called me to be a man of God, to be a preacher. Now, like Brother Watts here, brother, you keep preaching like that, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of, and you'll do just fine.
Amen.
Trust me, I've been at it for probably more years than you have, but every time I stand behind this pulpit, it's fear and trembling.
Amen.
My knees are still knocking. I'm still nervous. And I don't know how many messages I preach, I still get nervous. Don't ever give up that heart.
Amen.
Right? Don't ever give up that attitude. Rely on that. But God anointed me, and it says, anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The good news, amen?
Amen?
Whether you're in a foreign field or in the United States of America, good news is good news.
Amen.
Whether you're speaking English or you're speaking Nepali, good news is good news. It doesn't make a difference where you're at. The news doesn't change based on your location.
Amen.
The news of God's Word is the same.
Amen.
And I had the joy of preaching the good news and spreading the good news in a foreign field. And what a blessing it was. What a joy. I mean, I do it here in my own country. You know, it doesn't make a difference where you're at. You're still required to preach the good news, whether you're on vacation or not on vacation. The thing is about a preacher, you're never on vacation. It's not on the clock, off the clock. I work for the post office at nighttime to help take care of my family. But look, when I'm on the clock, I work. When I'm off the clock, I do what I want to do. But as a pastor, there is no on the clock, off the clock. You're on the clock. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Always. And we're to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Dr. Howes used to tell us all the time when we were going through Bible college, he that preaches to hurting hearts will never lack for a congregation.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, whether they're in the United States or on a foreign field, people are hurting.
Yeah.
I remember in Nepal so many times I would deal with different people to see their needs. And there were so many things that we didn't have over there. Things that we had to deal without. I mean, times where we were without electricity 18 hours a day. And water. They would send us water. The city would send us water about once every 3 or 4 days. We'd fill up our cistern on top of our house and function off of whatever water was in there. I've taken many army baths. And that's just take a little washcloth, soap it up really good. You know, I can take a shower with just a small amount of water. Try that. I'm so spoiled, and I sit in my shower and I just kind of... Sometimes I actually really feel guilty. I've got all this water pouring on me, and my mind goes back to those days on the mission field when I didn't have it, and I'd have to go downstairs, and whenever the city wouldn't send us water, we had a well in between the house, between our house and our landlord's house, and I'd go down there and pump the water out of that well. And then I'd bring up a bucket of water, and we'd use that for taking our showers. We'd use that for washing our dishes, for flushing our toilets. Look, we didn't flush the toilet every time we used it. I know some of you are thinking, that's disgusting. You do what you have to do, but look, people are hurting, and I wasn't going to live above them. They were hurting and they needed someone to feel their hurt, to feel their burden, someone that would have compassion on them. And as pastors, it's our job to feel the hurts of those that we minister to. And you do that through the Holy Spirit of God once again. When you're in touch with the Holy Spirit of God, He helps you to see the hurts and the burdens. And so many times I would deal with people there, and after I got done, I would just sit in my office and I would weep and just think, Lord, sometimes in our country we're missing it, aren't we? They would do without. They would ask my wife and I to come over, and they would do without anywhere from a week to 2 weeks worth of food just to have us over for one night. They would hurt both spiritually and financially and physically just to take care of the man of God. But it's our job to bind up the brokenhearted, to fix what's broken, to heal what hurts. And what a joy it is to be a part of the healing process. As pastors, sometimes we forget. As men of God, sometimes we forget. You know, I love being part of the healing process. To know that God is using me to help someone heal. And then it goes on from there. To proclaim liberty to the captives. I think of a captive, someone who's been led away. And you know, in the country of Nepal, they're led away by the teaching, by the pressure, by the customs, by the cultures. Into Hinduism, Buddhism. Hinduism was the main religion there. And it amazed me how difficult it could be to win them to Christ because of the fact of all that they had to deal with once they left your presence. So many times we think, well, once you get them into church, everything should be okay, no problem. But once they walked out those church doors, you knew what they were going to have to face the moment they got home. It's not like here in the United States. I mean, here in the States, kids go to church, they go home, no big deal. Moms and dads, men and women go to church, they go back to their homes, no big deal. Friends say, oh, well, you're turning into a religious nut, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
You know, but when you come home and you face the possibility of your family, your mother and father, your brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, everybody that you've known all your life, you face them saying, look, you turn that direction, you're no longer part of us. They were captive. They were led away by the things around them, by their own families, by their own religion, by their own customs and cultures. And it was our job, it was my job as a pastor to free them. I remember one lady in our church, her name was Santi. Prakash is a dear friend of mine. Brother B.J. Pradhan is the young man that helped me start Hope Baptist Church. He's now the pastor of that church, and he's also the director or the president of the college that we started there. But his dad was the first person that got saved in our church when it got started. 2 weeks into it, he told his son, he'd been in church several times. His brother-in-law was part of a church, and a lot of his family members, his wife's family members, were part of Boulder Baptist Church. And he had been preached to quite a bit. But he couldn't stand Christians, he couldn't stand the church, he couldn't stand pastors. He told his son one day when he found out his son was going to help this white boy start a church. He said, son, if that man starts a church, I'll come. We started the church. He came. And within 2 weeks, he came to Christ. Look, you can't lead people away when you're not going the right direction as it is. When your life is not exactly what it should be for Christ, you can't expect to lead the captivities free. And I remember that he'd been saved for about 3 months, and we'd been working on his wife, Miss Santi. As a matter of fact, my granddaughter, my daughter Candace, her daughter's name is Ariana Santi. Santi in the Nepali language means peace. For 3 months, we'd worked on her, and she'd come every once for a special service, and we'd see her. And then finally, we thought, Lord, she's going to get saved. We know she's going to get saved. And she kept fighting and fighting because in her culture, based on the Nepali religion, the Hindu religion, it was her responsibility at the time of her mother and father's death to take care of all the details when it came to burning their bodies, performing the religious rituals. And she didn't want to do that. She wanted to honor her mother and father. But at about 3 months after her husband, I don't know what he was saying to her. I don't know what was going on at home. I just know after 3 months, she finally came to Christ. And she said, I just couldn't get past the fact that what my husband had was real. He was different. And I wanted what he had. She was free. And then lastly, it says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. No matter where you're at, what part of the world you're in, what country you're in, people are bound in sin. They're prisoners to the sin. And it's our job to free them from sin. We do it through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And I hope as you continue in your ministries, wherever they may be, that you never forget. I understand all the qualifications of a pastor. I've read 1 Timothy. I've read the different epistles concerning our qualifications. But I'm always pulled back to Isaiah 61:1, back to the fundamentals. God always reminds me, hey, remember these. He said, just read that verse and continue to remember the main things that I told you a long time ago in this one verse. Anointed me to preach the good tidings of the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. As long as I stick to that, I will always have a part and an opportunity to do something for Christ. Thank you, preacher.